Hello, this is Barry Kimbrough checking in. I'm the minister at the Brookings Seventh-day Adventist Church, and we hope that you can stay with us for the next half hour. We've got a very interesting guest who is going to be sharing some stories from her life of how God has worked in her life in a wonderful way. And we have Petra Zukau. Did I say it right? Cool. Petra Zukau. And Petra lives in Hiuchi. But I know that you've not always lived in Hiuchi. You come from another country. And so I'd like for you to just share with us where you're from originally, if you would.
Okay. Well, I was born and raised in Germany. And that was 92 years ago. And Germany was much different than it is today. But I lived in Germany for many years, and my whole experience as a child raising, that is what I like to kind of share about.
So you were born 92 years ago. You're 92 years young.
That's right.
And how many years have you lived in America?
About 70 years now.
70 years, okay.
I am an American, but you know, somehow in the background, there is still some German left.
Well, now, that's a long ways to come, all the way from Germany to the United States, even out here to the West Coast. And I know you've been in different parts of the United States. And you are working on a book, as I understand it, about your long journey in your life.
That's right.
And it has more than one meaning, doesn't it? So maybe you could just share with us a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, actually, what I'd like to kind of share is my experience from when I grew up, as my picture of God that I had first from my parents and grandmother, which was judgmental, punishing, arbitrary, unforgiving, and very severe God. Satan did not exist. He was a fairy tale with red horns and pitchfork. And I just kind of, he just belonged to the story. But we did not realize of how active he can be. I had my experience as a controversy between both powers, God, and that is what I like. Okay, my 92 years old journey as an almost, it's almost unbelievable picture of a new, loving, caring creator and redeemer in my life. God is daily, even now, especially now, God, to me, is becoming more and more real. I have a relationship I never had with even human beings as I have today with my loving God.
So you actually had a journey to God.
Absolutely.
It was not just a journey to another country, but this is a spiritual journey that you have gone on, and it has been a discovery of God's love for you, of who God is, of the reality of the power of God's grace. Could you tell us a little bit more about what it was like growing up in Germany? Could you share that with us, please?
Yes, okay. That, to me, is so important to kind of share. Okay, it began in June of 1927, and it was an unsterile delivery, home delivery, and I was a crybaby. Now, that meant that at that time, that if you had a child that was crying more than natural, whatever natural was, that meant that you had a very strong will, which had to be broken with strong discipline, because for your own good, nothing changed anyway, and so I was disciplined from day one, and I kept crying and crying. It didn't change until day 11. I broke out in boils. Nobody has ever known about a staph infection or what to do with this. So I went sent to the hospital and was isolated and nothing for pain, because the idea was that babies don't have the capacity for pain yet. So why did I scream? But anyway, there was no medicine for infection. And so the boils were lanced by the doc. I was sent to the hospital, and the doctor would cut every boil when it was ripe and drain the pus. But then the wound oozed fluids and reinfected all my body for the next 6 months. And then the infection had run its course and stopped. So my mother had to take me home. Oh, horror. My face was distorted from screaming, and my bodies was full with those ugly red scars. And it was overwhelmingly to her, and she could not accept me as her child. Well, anyway.
Sounds like you started facing some really big trials even as soon as you were born.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And it impacted your well, experience in your family, too.
That's right. But you see, my mother came from a very strict family, religious family, and she had made a quote, she had sinned 7 years ago, and her mother, who was a very fanatic, so-called Christian, you can have those too, and she kind of told my mother when she had sinned that God will punish her for her sins of her family. And mother knew that God now had caught up with her, and I was God's punishment for her sin, and she couldn't handle it. And for the next 15 years, the problem was always my fault. I had a brother who was 2 years older, and he needled me, and he fought me, and teased me, and scared me, and when I was older, I was stronger. So I punched him. He would run to mother, and mother would come, and she would dump her garbage that she had from her mother, all the verbal abuse that I was evil, I was ugly, I was Satan, I was stupid, I was no good. I heard that over and over again. And so, but the worst part was that the silence that followed, she would not talk to me for days. That was more painful than anything. And when father came home at night, I was called. I could not defend myself. I could not share anything. He was hungry. He was sad, tired, and he beat me with a cane. And so if I screamed hard here, the procedure lasted longer. And the day came when I said, it does not hurt. From that time on, I swallowed everything and pushed everything down into my inside of myself. And so, okay.
So you have, we talk nowadays about people growing up in dysfunctional families. We talk about verbal abuse, we talk about physical abuse and all kinds of abuse and different types. And that's not something unique to our world today. It happened even in your growing up years in a faraway place. So tell us, did you go to school? What were the schools like?
Okay. Well, actually, I had all three of what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. I was abused physically, emotionally, and verbally, and sexually. Mm-hmm. I got it all. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yes, school was not much better. It was 1933, a new government had come, and the teachers were scared and angry because they had to prove for three generations that there was no Jewish blood in them. Mm-hmm. And so they were, and the way they took out their anger and their pain, again, a student. And I hated school. And I was dumb. I only when it was for singing and so on, I was good. But the three hours was nothing for me, though I was a stupid student. But anyway, the main thing was that at age 10, it was compulsory for us to join the Hitler Youth. And oh, it was good for me. I could get away from home. And
so you say you didn't have a choice.
I had no choice.
Everyone had to do it.
Well, but point is, for me, that was an answer to get a break. See, mother had to let me go.
So you needed somewhere to go, and this gave you something else to do and somewhere else to go.
But you know, the point was that the youth that we had, the Hitler Youth, we were the super race, and it was vague, strong discipline, but fair. Okay. And we would sing, today Germany belongs to us, tomorrow the whole world. And we were indoctrinated while we were knitting socks for the soldiers at the war and stuff like that. It was wonderful. And so my loyalty from family had changed now to the government. It was the greatest thing that I thought. And because, you know, if you don't have rules without relationship, results
rebellion. I think you said something about rebellion.
It was rebellion.
So could you repeat that one? Rules what again? Say that part again.
Without relationship result in
rebellion.
And that was a typical thing for us. But anyway, the war went on, and the Hitler Youth was always involved. And we, at the end of the war, were told to kind of go to the front, go and help the front to save our fatherland. I was 16 years. I went to the Eastern Front. It was terrible. And the refugees had come for months and years. It was a dreadful picture. Now, I never had a gun in my hand, and I was glad. But we were asked to see how many trains were coming in from the East, how many of the soldiers deserted. And it was terrible. Anyway, an officer came to our boat that we were staying, and one day, and he said, the war is over, we have lost. Impossible. Because the H-bomb was supposed to be 3 months from being sent up, and everybody was supposed to hold on till then, but it never happened. But anyway, the man came and he said, tomorrow, wouldn't you kind of go? You have to kind of flee. Don't let the Russians get a hold of you. Never heard about rape before. But anyway, so we were going, and the officer gave me a letter and asked me to go and walk 536 miles to the west to his family to deliver the letter, because he knew he would make it back home.
So you actually walked 536 miles to deliver a letter.
That's right. Was a way that saved my life. You see?
So it was actually a good thing that you did.
I was an idealist.
Right.
And there were many idealists, you see? And so, because I was trained, you do what I say. Well, whatever people wanted me to do, I would do it if it was right.
You were disciplined and responsible. Now I've got a question at this point. I have known you for a little while, and I've never seen you with a swastika. I don't see you with Nazi or anything like that. Now, so there's been a change. There was a change in life. What made you think? What happened? What made you think that there was something better than what you had been trained to believe? Okay. What opened your mind to something better?
You know, the interesting was, I love nature. And when I came to Germany proper, I went south instead of west. South and west. And they were the most beautiful nature, and I loved it. And I looked at it, and I just couldn't get enough. And then I heard the story of Alice. And Alice was, the girls would hide from the soldiers that would come in. And Alice's mother was sick, and she said to Alice, "Go and hide with your neighbor girls." And Alice said, "Mother, have you not taught me that the angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him and deliver them? Please let me stay." Heavy footsteps came in, dug in there into the house, and one officer and two soldiers. They found plenty of alcohol in a previous thing. And so he saw Alice, grabbed her by the wrist, and ready to drag her out. And she screamed, "Hast du denn keine Mutter? Don't you have a mother?" And the guy, these glassy eyes and the smell of alcohol, he stared at her and put his hand in his pocket. A gun? No. A wallet he had, with German money he had taken from somewhere. He gave it to Alice and in broken German said, "Here, take care of your mother. I'll see to it that no one will molest you again." Gave orders and they were gone. Wow. And I said, "Is that true? Is there a God?" That was my first question. Okay, and then, oh, I was so hungry and I ate all the plants in the grass that I could fish, stinging nettles, dandelions, and all this kind of stuff we had learned about. But anyway, I ate it. I was so hungry for 2 weeks. I was skinny, and I came to a house. I was begging, and the farmer called me in, and talked to me. And oh, pretty soon there was a smell, the most wonderful smell I haven't heard, the smell of boiled potatoes in the jacket. I hadn't eaten anything like that. And they, each one, got two medium size of potatoes and a little thing. And how come that the men still had potatoes and food to share? Before we sat down, we held hands, and the father said the blessing. Could that be the reason? Is there a God? That was my question. And so I went another thing. I found a baby buggy. Ah, it was an old-fashioned thing with four wheels. At least I could put my bag in it in there, and I had a blanket, and so I would walk with it. But one day it was pouring rain all day long. And I came to a village and there was no home there, no light there. Everything was closed. I couldn't sleep on the ground, on the floor. I went into a little stand of furs and parked my buggy. And guess where I slept? I went into that baby buggy. It wasn't that big. I was that skinny by then. My feet over are there. At the handle, my back thing, and I looked up, and there was a perfect, the rain had stopped, a perfect spider web, and in every corner, a drip of water. The moon was shining on thousands of scars. I have never seen so many scars. And the moon shone on those little things were like diamonds. And I looked up, and I did not feel hungry. I looked up, I did not feel the pain in my legs from walking so much. And I fell asleep. Now, there was something that came over me I had no words for. Today, I call, it was his peace. You see? Wow. And so it went, and when I went on, and of course now the government has changed the country into sections. Russian bought all of it, but the Allies wouldn't let it. So the North was with England, with South, the West was France, and the South was American. Now, on the border was closed at 10 o'clock in the morning. And I was in the Russian zone. Of course, I didn't know that because, you know, that's it. And I came to the border. There was one soldier. And I didn't know speak English. But I said, "Mother, my town." and he let me go. It wasn't right. It was a lie. But anyway, I got through to the American. And from then on, I can tell you, as I say, story after story of the blessings that I experienced. And then I was with a family. I got a scholarship to go and take nursing, children's nursing. I love children. But why did they get sick? Why did they die? If there was a God, they hadn't done anything bad. That was my question. And then after 1 year, after graduating, we were encouraged to go 1 year to go to another country to learn what democracy was. Well, I signed up for England. I want to show them what a good German was like. I was not interested in politics. I could say, how do you do? That was it. I saw the other side of the fence. And, oh, the horrible thing that I saw. I went to Coventry Cathedral there was two beams that had fallen in the form of a cross, and that became the Church of Reconciliation. And behind it were the words, Father, forgive them. And I looked at that, and for the first time in years, I cried, did that mean me too? And so it went continue, and then, oh, people.
So you were... You were experiencing many experiences of God at work, reaching out. You felt God reaching out to you. You felt the presence of God, the peace of God.
Absolutely.
You were amazed to realize that there really was something better than what you had known. Now you go to England.
That's right.
And that would have been quite an experience. Here you are, a German, coming to England after the war.
Not speaking English either.
Now, I understand that there were some meetings that you attended while you were there in England that had an impact on your life. Could you share a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Oh, I was invited to many churches, but they weren't telling me, oh, you have to go and see Mr. So-and-so. He's just wonderful. Well, forget that, wonderful. But I had always a plan. I would go one time to whoever people invited me to. And I went to this person, and he held the Bible there, and a big Bible. He was good-looking, and he was kind-speaking. And he said, if you want to be a different man, a different woman, 10 minutes study in your Bible every day will make you such. But never asking, open the heart, but asking God for the Holy Spirit to guide you. I was sitting way in the back so I could escape. And I said my first prayer, God, I give you two months to prove that. I give you 1 hour a day just to be sure that give you a good chance. It was 2 weeks. I changed my attitude started to changing. It just was wonderful.
And so you actually put it into practice. You started.
Oh, yes. Bible, oh, yes.
10 minutes a day. And you say it made a big difference in your life.
One hour a day. Oh, okay. Absolutely. And so it just went on and on. Do I have time for the next one?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. We had... and he came and in his preaching, he talked about evolution. I didn't know what the word evolution was. And he said, I never forget, he said, the German philosophers, Nietzsche and Karl Marx, the things, only because of those two men couldn't Adolf Hitler exist. Adolf Hitler in church, I was finished with the church, but I had to tell them so. So after he was finished and everybody just glued over him, I bawled him out. But I was also in tears. And he had a prayer with me. I was finished with the church. I talked to my employer and told her that I'd finished. And she was a sweetheart. She spoke also broken English. But she told me that night that she was a Czech Jew. And she and all her family was scared. She was so kind to me. She never let me know that thing. And I work for a Jew. I couldn't believe it. And if I looked at it, you saw all the features you could have seen a half a mile I had never seen before. Now, what shall I do with the Jews when our teaching about the Jews? Oh, I can tell you more. But anyway, and then I didn't want to go to church. And one day, there was blue sky in London, and there didn't want to be often. And two planes had passed by. And there was a huge white, the white thing that comes
from the trail from the plane.
A perfect, huge cross, excellent, perfect cross. Mm. I looked up just a half a minute or so on, and the wind had blown it away. What does it mean? What is it saying? There was another cross I saw. There were three crosses. And one thing I thought, well, I didn't know how to pray. I want to kind of get a little cross so I could remember that. And I went to a store, you know, where they have, old jewelry and stuff like that. And so I saw in this display a little chain with the swastika. It's swastika in London. And somebody seems to say, go and stick with the old stuff, because you believed it, you were true, you were an idealist, don't go with the other. But anyway, I thought, well, I'll think about it. And so I went to another store, and there was a regular jewelry store, and there were all those crosses, and I bought a cross. And then I learned to pray. And I tell you what, it took me. But the time came that I knew I had to make a decision. And one day there was a call to it, and I made my decision. But I looked at the people, that the church people, so to say, and there were some buttons up, and button missing. The shoes were not polished. The children were like brats. And everything, the hair wasn't tidy. The fingernails looked... I was so critical, covering up my own pain. And anyway, so, and I should join this group?
Told me that you had noticed this, because you had been raised in a very perfectionistic, with the Hitler youth.
Absolutely.
And very disciplined, everything had to be perfect. And then you're here now in another culture and different people, and you were struggling with that. Now, I do remember that you said that the evangelist... You talked to the evangelist about this, and he asked you a question.
That's right.
That made an impact on you.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, well, it was kind of a certain time. It was just because mail came three times a day. And so there was, I had tried to talk to this minister. I bawled out. Of course, I never got thing. And so I wasn't sure. It was already sundown, was late in the evening. And all the places were closed. And I prayed. I said, God, if you want me to do that, I just want I call one more time this man that never was available for me. I one more time call this minister. And if he's not there, I will be finished with the search. And I sit there, and oh, my emotions were running like ocean flying over me. And I had Regent 888, because the letter said, if you have any question, let me know. So I Regent 888, and here all the other people had gone. On the other hand was this man, this minister, and I couldn't believe it. And so I didn't want to tell them how critical I was about the people. I tried to kind of be more civil. And so he asked me some question about the teaching of the church. Well, no problem whatsoever. You know, that was right. Nothing. But I just said, I just don't feel right. And, you know, when you need something, you need to feel that it was the right thing to do. And so he said to me, Petra, let me ask you one question. Are you going after feeling or truth? That was a bombshell. That was it.
So that made a great impact on you.
Absolutely.
So he said, tell me again, what was the question again?
He said, are you going after feeling or truth?
And that really made you think.
That was it. I knew it like anything else. Next day I was baptized. And then the thing was, after there were lots of people that were baptized that day. And then after we all lined up and the church people came to welcome us into the church, and I looked around and all the shoes were polished, all the buttons were on, all the hair was tidy, all the people changed that day. And there was one text that came to my mind.
What was the text?
The text is, I don't even know where it found. I didn't put it in there. Yeah. Okay. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. That was my experience. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. We've been talking with Petra Zukau, who came from Germany and has been living for many years here in the United States, but she has a keen memory of her story, and I think I could title this story "This From the Swastika to the Cross."
That's right.
Because that's really what happened. I think that Petra may have some more stories that she can tell us another time, but we're so happy that you've stayed with us for this half hour. We trust that you've heard a story that has confirmed your faith in Christ, in God's love, and of His leading in our lives. May God bless you today as you remember that God does indeed love you.
Amen.